everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering on producing the show as we have our midweek edition this Wednesday, July 6, 2022. Tom, our friends over at Pima Animal Care Center. In fact, we had Monica with us in studio last week, Monica Dangler. They've got a situation over there, Tom. If any of our listeners are missing their pets who ran off during the fireworks display or the big monsoon that we had in many parts of town on Saturday, the folks at Pima Animal Care are begging residents to stop by the shelter to claim their lost pets or adopt or foster. You will quite literally be saving a life. Tom, the situation is such that for the first time since the shelter opened in 2017, they've had to, they consulted with the county administration. They may have to start euthanizing dogs this week due to the critical overcrowding.
Wow. And everybody was told,
yes,
many times up leading up to the,
yeah,
4th of July, be careful for your pets.
Yep. It's the biggest intake day. They were bringing in up to 75 pets a day. So these next two or three days are going to be very critical. They have over 500 dogs at the shelter. That was on July the 1st. So they just cannot accommodate this many animals. It's not a good situation over there.
Does the shelter have any idea about what areas of town most of them may have come from or anything like that?
I don't think they know that, but there is just a lot of animals over there. And so if you're missing your pet, there is a darn good chance that the animal is over at Pima Animal Care Center. Let's bring in now into our conversation on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the District 4 Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the five-member board. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy 4th of July, and nice to be on your show again.
It is a gut-wrenching decision to euthanize, and we hope it doesn't come to that. But, boy, they really need folks to pick up the animals, Supervisor.
No, I think your opening monologue pretty much articulated the dire need that the community's in, particularly the situation that's arisen at the Pima Animal Center. So let's hope that your voice was heard and people will follow your advice, and that they'll be able to work their way out of this very difficult and, as you say, gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching time.
It's also a heart-wrenching time down in Green Valley, which your district includes. Green Valley, the news that Green Valley's only hospital closed last Thursday, right before the 4th, due to the financial strain and inability to get the retirement community's residents to get the care there instead of driving to Tucson. It's a 49-bed facility called Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital. Any updates that you can give us since this news came down?
No, I wish I could. Unfortunately, it really rocks you and, you know, can send you into a tailspin in that community when you realize, you come to the realization that all the pathways and efforts and capabilities of trying to find some kind of a financial solution and resolution, all of those avenues have ended, and there's nothing left. And that's what is ringed with so much sadness, because when that facility was first opened in 2016 or 17, I believe, it had such high hopes and expectations, and it is a beautiful facility. I don't know if you've been there, Bill, but it reminds me of Terra, the house Terra in Gone with the Wind. It's a beautiful facility, and they've been struggling, really bleeding red ink in many months since they opened. They've had turnover of CEOs several times. They've had ownership changes several times. They never seem to be able to get their footing stabilized as far as finances. They ran into problems with Medicare. Medicare fronted them some money, and they owed them, the hospital owed them repayments that they couldn't make. They had serious cash flow situations. They had a lawsuit with a doctor's group that they engaged in to serve the community and the hospital down there. Then you throw into the mix a very bad economy with the stock market crashing and inflation raging. And on top of that, the competition that that hospital had to face with not only Tucson and its numerous terrific facilities just, you know, 35, 40 minutes away, but also up the road to in Sahuarita. United Healthcare put in a beautiful facility recently just up the road. And this, you know, coupled with all of the other ingredients in this very difficult pie, created the situation that that they had to go through. They looked for other buyers. It looked like Tucson Medical Center was going to save it. Tucson Medical Center, probably the most iconic and well-known hospital facility and institution in Southern Arizona, if not the entire state, did a very thorough due diligence for up to 7 months of taking over that hospital in Green Valley, and then they abruptly withdrew. So given the financial history of the facility and its further complicating matters was the ownership of the facility, the hospital, the grounds, the buildings on the campus, the equipment, were all owned by different entities. Yeah. And the hospital and the grounds were owned by a real estate investment trust from investors out of state, I believe on the East Coast. So perhaps when TMC was doing the due diligence, they looked at all of the configurations of ownership and all of the inner workings of the buildings on the campus that were owned by another entity for, that was supposed to be for doctors, the equipment that's in the hospital, all of the fixtures and features that are supposed to serve patients are owned by other entities, probably finance companies. And then you have the real estate investment trust owning the building and the grounds. That makes for a very complicated purchasing program. And then on top of that, the community really, I heard numbers maybe 15% of the Green Valley and surrounding area community utilized that facility, and everybody else went up to Tucson.
That's the number I was going to bring up with you. 15% of the people living there in Green Valley used it. That's such a small percentage. And you just got to wonder, why did they not want to support a local hospital? Why drive up to Tucson if you can avoid it? I don't understand
it. Yeah. Many of the services that those folks required were not offered in Green Valley.
Okay.
Might be serious operations such as joint replacement or open surgeries like heart or thoracic or any of the major surgeries that they just did not have the capabilities to provide the community with that. And it appears that much of the community required those kinds of services that just weren't being offered in Green Valley, but were in Tucson.
Yeah, rural health is just struggling so much in our country.
There was another issue, too, with first responders, ambulances, initially. They were initially all told to go up to Tucson, and they drive right by Green Valley Hospital.
Oh, boy.
And rural, and you're making another point of this whole situation is rural health and rural hospitals throughout the country are suffering badly.
Yeah, so now who knows what happens to the facility, right?
Yeah, and again, it would take some pretty strong imagining and creativity to try to repurpose that beautiful facility. And I'm certain that if somebody after you have TMC pull out so abruptly, that would send, you know, red flags and stop signs throughout the the country as well as the world in the healthcare community about purchasing that. So it would have to take somebody with a special cash flow and a special eye of creativity for that repurposing of that facility.
Speaking with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, District 4 Republican, one of his other areas in his very wide-reaching district is the Mount Lemmon community. And I'm just curious, Steve Christie, what are you hearing about rainfall? They had some robust rain. I know here in the city of Tucson, it has been very disappointing, with many areas not even getting one good rain. What are you hearing about the Mount Lemmon and Summer Haven community?
Great things. They've been getting doused. It's been a very good season of rain up there for them, much needed, and very thankful given the fire challenges they always are. But it looks like they've been getting regular heavy rains for some time now, and that fire danger always imminent, but is certainly lessened. And also the new lodge up there is near completion, and it's due to open in August. So there are a lot of great things going on up there, a lot of exciting developments. And they had a terrific 4th of July parade with a flyover from Davis Monthan Air Force Base. They had grand marshals, and all the residents provided floats and built displays. And the unfortunate thing was you were kind of much in a standstill. There were so many people up there, but they had a terrific time, and it was the first time in a couple of years that they've had that parade. So it was especially a special event for them.
All right, we're going to pause right here and talk about Green Things, our favorite nursery in town. Green Things, yeah, we did get a little rain. We had a little about an inch of rain up at our place over the weekend. Green Things got some rain, and all the plants went, oh, thank goodness, we finally got some moisture. But we definitely need more, but it is a good time to do some of your late summer thinking and fall thinking for the garden to get some color in there. So post-rainy season, we'll have a beautiful garden for you. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site. Open daily. They're in their, 51st year. Or is it 52nd? They may have just closed out 51 years. But anyway, over a half a decade, it's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Be right back with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Boy, it's almost perfect weather over in Silver City, mid-80s. We always like to say it's at least 10 degrees cooler and sometimes a lot more because of their elevation over there, and the nights have been beautiful. Let's see, mid-60s. So they're at about a mile high elevation, only a 3-hour drive approximately from Tucson. And this is unlike the Tucson area, not including Mount Lemmon, as we heard Supervisor Christie say, they got a lot of rain. So is New Mexico. Our friends over in Silver City tell me they've had 5 inches and things have really greened up. So maybe we can get some here, maybe just starting this weekend. But right now, nothing in the forecast. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the starting place to find out more about a visit to Silver City and Green, Silver City and Green City, I almost said, Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Pima County Supervisor back to the show, Steve Christie. Supervisor Christie, this was a large financial commitment, the fiscal year, the financial plan for the next 12 months beginning July 1st, a $2 billion package was approved yesterday by you and your colleagues. Was that unanimous? Did you vote yes on this?
No, it was not unanimous, and I voted against it for a variety of reasons. Foremost of the reasons was involving the fact that now is the time when we should be tightening our belts, saving money, and cutting spending in a pre-recessionary, if not already recessionary, economic climate with inflation soaring. We have a long way to go in Pima County to return to where we were economically and job-wise pre-pandemic days. Pima County's been, I think, the lowest or one of the two or three lowest in the state as far as recovery is concerned from the pandemic. And to have that much of a package and to rely so much on federal funding in that package from the recovery money, I think is not responsible and could lead to some serious consequences once that money ends. And if we do slip into a recession, which is almost certain. So I think my colleagues seem to think that with all this money, they had all kinds of opportunities to just, pick all kinds of special projects that they liked, like buying more open space and finding places to build homes of affordable housing, all maybe well and good and genuine things. But in this economic climate, with job layoffs and supply chain issues and all sorts of negative factors, I felt it was very irresponsible for the amount of taxes involved to raise taxes on property owners. Certainly came into my feelings that this was not the proper avenue for the county to take as far as a budget amount.
So the official news release from Pima County said that most taxpayers, or many taxpayers is the way they put it, will see a slight increase in their county property tax due to the increased property valuations. Is it going to be slight?
Well, it will be slight. And, of course, we have to remember that there's really only 3 or 4 areas that Pima County can actually influence as far as the taxes. You have the primary property tax, and you have the secondary property tax, and then you have the other taxing districts that are not controlled by the county, but they will be seeing probably a slight increase. And of course, you have to take into effect that valuations of property are going to be much higher, and that will certainly affect the bottom line of your tax bill. One thing I've always stressed is that we need to keep moving in the direction of making the budget revenue neutral. And if we had diligently tried to do that, in many ways, we could have gotten a property tax cut in the amount of close to 17 cents. So that's significant, and that's a large amount. But we didn't come close to revenue neutral, and that's, I think, going to be problematic as things economically evolve.
How about new road construction and road repair in this spending plan?
It's in there, and that's one of the few items that, of course, I eagerly support, because that, I think, is a core and fundamental responsibility of the county, is to maintain our roads. And we have, I believe, scheduled somewhere in the neighborhood of $66 million for this year alone in road repair. And we're doing a terrific job, as promised a couple of years ago with the PAYGO system. And I noticed this, I had a meeting, a staff meeting with the Pima County Department of Transportation, and I noticed that we are making significant headway because of the amount of complaints that I'm not getting anymore about our roads. That used to be my number one issue constituent-wise, and it's really trickled off to virtually non-existent. So that tells me that our plan for road repair is successful, and it also makes Mrs. Christie very happy, because she didn't care about anything else I was doing, just so long as I fixed the roads.
There you go. Just fix the darn roads. So road repair.
Yeah, she didn't use darn.
Okay, I can imagine. The board then approving nearly $67 million on road repairs for the fiscal year. That's good news. Then the new road construction. How does all of it work into the RTA next plan, Supervisor Christie?
Well, again, that is dependent, I think, a lot on the city of Tucson's position and the way they approach the RTA next plan. I believe the county is going to be steadfast in its belief that the RTA plan should be renewed. It's going to be steadfast in its belief that each jurisdiction should have one vote, and it's going to be steadfast in its belief that the city of Tucson is not being fully accurate as to its complaints about PAG and RTA, the Pima Association of Governments, in light of the projects that the city of Tucson has enjoyed as a result of the RTA efforts. So we are going to maintain our unincorporated road repair program, and that coupled with the RTA plans, it dovetails with the RTA plans and is a very good relationship. And I would just encourage the city of Tucson to forget its desire to dominate, or its desire to have more say, its desire to make it superior as far as the other jurisdictions are concerned in voting and in other areas, and just get back into the RTA Pima Association of Governments family and work together for a united collaborative work.
You still advocate, as you have on this program, a plan B, that we need to move quickly with a plan B.
Yes, if you know, things don't pan out with the city of Tucson, I would entrust the planners of the RTA and Pima Association of Governments, I believe they have the full capability and knowledge and experience to do it, to come up with a RTA Plan B that does not include the city of Tucson, and that can still provide the projects and the road repair and infrastructure needs of the entire county. So I'm hoping that that's already in the works, because we're coming pretty close to a point where we need to make those decisions.
All right, Supervisor Christie, so overall, moving forward, from what I gather, too much reliance on federal government funding coming in for this budget program. That was your main criticism.
Yeah, sometimes when you are being fed so much, you forget who's feeding you, and that at some point that being fed is going to stop. And I don't think there's any contingent plans or any realization plans to address that situation. The spending of the Biden administration throughout the country is just so amazing that it can't go on. And we are heavily relying upon all of that. And at some point, we've got to come to grips with the fact that it's going to stop.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, we'll look forward to your visit with us next month. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Coming up after we take the CBS Network break, Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel for our monthly travel talk segment. Oh, my goodness, so much going on in the travel arena. We'll be back with Ryan right after we take a break.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor. He is Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage Travel experts, and they are experts. These people have been, you name a corner of the world, and there's a good chance they have been there. They're ready right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, and they have a darn good website as well, loaded with material. It's bvtravel.com. I like to say it's the first step in making your travel dreams come true. Mr. Hansen, Ryan, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, and thank you for mentioning the website, Bill. It is chock full of deals right now. That's what's amazing in travel industry.
I know. Going nuts.
There are deals to be had, and it is a great time to travel. Lots of people want to get out, but it's a great value for your travel right now when it comes to hotels and cruises. I know the airlines not necessarily in the same value proposition. You and I like to talk transparently here. We don't just fluff it up and talk all roses when it comes to travel. The flights are difficult. There's cancellations, delays, pilot issues. The cost is expensive.
Issues, staffing. And it's been like finger pointing. The FAA says, we just don't have enough people. We're trying. We're training. Blame the airlines. And the airlines say, hey, it's the air traffic controllers. It's a myriad of things that are going on.
Yeah, and you got to pack your flexibility when it comes to the travel. So while you're getting a great deal, it's pent up probably inside of you. You haven't been able to travel either as much as you used to or not at all since the pandemic hit. You do need to pack your flexibility. And if you have concrete plans, extend them. I would recommend, especially on the cruise side of things, where you know the cruise is embarking that day, that time, you can't miss the ship or you will miss the whole itinerary.
You got to go
a day
early.
Or two
got
even
to.
Now. And why not? Extend your vacation that much longer. You've waited this long anyways. But then it takes that hassle and stress out because I've been on a flight recently that you're sitting on the plane and the pilot comes on and says, I'm sorry to say, the weather has closed down the airport, or the weather led us to a delay, which now I'm timed out as
They're
a pilot.
Timed out.
We've canceled
16
the flight.
Hours, that's the big number.
And, you know, when you're sitting on that plane and you're frustrated, it's all for safety.
Yes.
There are the right reasons behind this. So if you pack your flexibility, you build in time, you don't get frustrated, you make your alternate plans and off you go.
And a tip, if you're thinking of air travel, maybe postpone it till after Labor Day. And we're already seeing now, we've peaked in some of the airfares, in some of the markets, Ryan. And now into the fall, you're going to see some fares coming down and maybe a lot less headaches for you after Labor Day.
If you can, right?
If you can.
If you have
kids, I know everybody wants
this is
to
the
do
time
this.
To go.
Sure. They want
to
do the summer vacation.
Right.
Yep.
It may be based on the destination. Mm-hmm. This is the right time for you, but I do agree. If time is on your side and you can postpone, not only will you see better airfares, you'll see a little bit less in the airports from a number of people, and hopefully the airlines and the FAA will have a little time behind them to get some of their issues resolved as well.
All right, Ryan Hansen, New York Times says the world is on sale. You alluded to that. The big most of the big cruise lines, according to the New York Times, have sweeping, and this is something from the Times, really sweetening the offers. High-end ships are filling up. Rare sales in Alaska. This is really a big deal.
Yeah, if you can still travel to Alaska this summer from a time standpoint, meaning you could travel in August or the first part of September, you could sail for $50 per person per day.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you wanted to go to Europe right now, there's many opportunities to go to Europe for $100 per person per day. And don't forget, on a cruise, that means activities, food, and lodging. It's not just that hotel. So if you think, oh, wow, that's a lot per person, you're not going to get a nice hotel in Europe for less than $200 a night.
No.
That would be a steal.
Yes.
If you got something at $200 a night. So if you and your partners are splitting that, think of it that way, you are really getting a tremendous value. And there's one I'd like to really point
Go
out.
Ahead.
Bill, you and I love talking river cruising.
Yep.
I think we're very big fans of river cruising. AMA Waterways right now has an opportunity. If you sail in Europe in 2022, this year. And mm-hmm. so you not only have their summer season, but you also have the Christmas markets as an mm-hmm. opportunity in November and December. They will include airfare in your total package for
Excuse
free.
Excuse me?
That is the difference maker, right? Because
airfare is thrown in?
Is thrown in.
That and is so rare, right?
It is. It doesn't happen, right? Because yes. the volatility, the pricing, it's just too hard to package. But they have gone out and with their relationships with airlines, because they sell so much of it themselves, have been able to negotiate this type of deal. So if you are thinking about, man, I'd love to get to Europe this year, mm-hmm. but oh man, the airfare's too much. The cruise, that deal sounds great, but when mm-hmm. I add the airfare, it's too costly. AMA Waterways, give us a call, and that would be who you should ask for.
All right. Something we have talked about for months, maybe even a year since this thing was instituted, and this is your first visit with us since the United States dropped the reentry requirement for COVID. That has made a deal like you just talked about for Europe in November, it's going to peak up a lot of people's interest who were saying, you know, I just don't want to take a chance on the COVID test. Being tested in Europe and not being able to get home, mm-hmm. on and on.
And it's very true.
The game changer.
It's a real thing, Bill. There were pre-change of this test, there were people that had asymptomatic issues testing positive. They didn't think they had anything. And by chance, they tested positive and got stuck in Europe and had a couple extra days, maybe five, maybe longer than that, had some challenges depending on the destination they were in. Were they in a government-run hotel? Were they in the hotel of their choosing, right? Some of these issues mm-hmm. kept people from making that decision.
Yes.
And I get it. It's mm-hmm. it's okay. And then when you work with Bon Voyage, hey, we want to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to travel. You have to be prepared for these things. And if that's a game changer for you, is I don't want to get stuck in said destination by testing positive asymptomatically, mm-hmm. Then I'm not going to book my trip. Let's wait. Guess what? As we said just last month, that lifting is game changing. And it is in line. And let's talk through this, right? Because it was put in place for all the right reasons, mm-hmm. for all the safety protocols that needed to be out there, pre-vaccination, even early on before the vaccination was widely distributed and boosters were available to everybody. It was the right measure to be taken by pretty much every country in the world put these in place. Ironically, the United States was one of the first to put it in place and has now been one of the last to drop it. I think there's over 160 countries right now in the world that do not have any protocols at all for you to travel. Many of them, the EU, almost in large part, almost the entire EU, you don't have to show proof of vaccination or test or anything. You are free to roam and travel. The United States being in line with the world as the world has attacked this pandemic is huge for safety first. But then next, for the traveling public, to take that issue away from you as you're trying to return to the United States, what a change, and fantastic for our travel.
And there were certain protocols put in place by the CDC for the cruise industry. There's been some changes just today in that arena, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, many of the cruise lines are starting to look at testing before embarkation mm-hmm. on their ship as something, should we be in line with the rest of the travel and hospitality and tourism world that does not require testing? If there's these 160 plus countries not requiring it, why do we have to be mm-hmm. singled out? Mm-hmm. And Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings today, which owns and operates Norwegian Cruises, Oceania Cruises, and Regent Seven Seas Cruises, the really tremendous three triumvirate of cruise lines, as of August 1st, they will not require a negative test to embark on one of their ships. And that the only caveat to that is, unless the country that you are departing from requires it, mm-hmm. they won't. So mm-hmm. right now, if you leave out of Miami after mm-hmm. August 1st, the United States still requires it as a CDC protocol. So you will have to test negative to get on a ship that departs out of the United States. But by and large, the rest of their fleet across the globe, you will not have to test to get on a ship. You still have to have a vaccination mm-hmm. proof prior to getting on. And what these cruise lines are seeing are tremendous results in a positive way from a safety standpoint that the vaccination has created. So the testing is now not being required.
And they have a lot of ships. It's 94 ships or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tremendous largest fleet across all three cruise lines. So it's a lot of data that they've been able to capture in the year that they've been sailing under very strict protocols to come to this conclusion. It's data-driven. And think of it this way. If something goes wrong, if it's bad, if this is a bad decision in the cruise industry, those three cruise lines are in deep, deep trouble. So
right.
the last thing they want to do
sure.
is remove a protocol that endangers their crew first and their passengers second. And so this was a very thoughtful decision.
And Holland America also dropping some COVID testing.
Yep. And we will see Royal Caribbean probably in the next 2 months. Their president is indicating that they're moving in that direction as
All
well.
All right. We're going to pause. It's Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this break.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster with Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. Ryan, going back to the airlines, the United States does not require masks, and that helped really, I think, open the doors to some of these scenes we're seeing at airports where we are now back to pre-pandemic levels going through TSA. There are some masking if you're going overseas.
Yeah, depending on the country that you're embarking mm-hmm. or landing into,
sure.
There are many countries that are, it's interesting, Bill, and mm-hmm. we've looked at the data and looked at the research. A lot of these countries have have removed protocols for on land when you're in country, but still, if you're flying on some of the regional carriers throughout Europe, there could be masking requirements. So please be prepared for that. And that's something that was, gosh, kind of volatile here in the United States of wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, being required to, only allowed when you're drinking or eating, and you have to pull it down and pull it back up. And it was kind of point of consternation for many. So domestically here in the United States, it's not a requirement, but that is when we talk about packing your flexibility. It's a figure of speech, but it really is a true term. Pack that mask because you don't know what place you might be. There could still be some museums in Europe or internationally that you might go to that are requiring a mask. So just still be prepared for that as you're traveling.
And that goes also with, if you are vaccinated, you've had shots, take your card with you, whether you're going to Hawaii, which doesn't require the card. But you just brought up a good point. We were over in Hawaii in May. There are some museums that still were requiring the card. So take the card with you if you've got it, whether, wherever you're going.
Yeah, and when you speak of international destinations, this is why working with us can be helpful, because there still are changing dynamics, right? Protocols are moving in the, what we would say, the right direction. They're being reduced over time and over space. But sometimes you'll see a change where something will come back and they'll put a mask mandate in place, or they might escalate depending on a restaurant or a museum. They may not have ever taken away the requirement to be vaccinated. So being prepared for that and packing all of your flexibility alongside your vax card and your mask just in case is of the utmost importance.
Of course, early on, March, April of 2020, the cruise industry took some huge hits. And I'm just wondering, are there any statistics showing how safe cruising in the long run turned out to be when it comes with the number of deaths, perhaps, that were reported?
Yeah, for lack of a better phrase, cruises were the poster child for COVID, right? It was like people were using the phrase, it's a petri dish.
Yeah.
And there was one cruise line that really took it on the chin, and they didn't handle it right. And no one knew how to handle it. And there were, unfortunately, a lot of positive cases and quite a few deaths that came out of that cruise line way back in March of 2020. But when cruising in earnest started back up last summer, we're looking at about 12 months of data right now and seeing clearly there's positive cases that are happening, even though there's vaccination requirements and until here recently, negative testing. But as people are disembarking for ports and getting back on, you know, you're interfacing with general public in ports of call. So it's bound to be a part of the experience in some small numbers. And as the president of Royal Caribbean stated here recently, Michael Bailey, he said, let's really look at and has worked directly with the CDC. And this is one sector of the travel industry that is required to report all of this data. Unlike a hotel, you go to Las Vegas and stay at the Aria. The Aria is not reporting to anyone how many positive cases people that have stayed at their hotel, have touched the slot machines, have eaten at the buffet. Cruise lines are required. So these numbers are scientifically proven out, is that the number of deaths that you could track back to a passenger that sailed on a cruise in the last year and got a COVID positive and then ultimately died was 2.
Wow.
And while 2 people is terrible, that's still a tragic loss. We don't want to lose anybody.
Yeah.
When you put that in context and look at it in not just in the cruise space, but just globally, the contextual idea that only 2 people died from COVID in a year's worth of data of millions of passengers on cruises across all of the destinations, that is remarkable success that the cruise lines are doing the right things as it comes to safety protocols.
Ryan Hansen, so many people put off legacy travel, and we're now having what some are referring to as revenge travel. In other words, the revenge is, look, I've sat at home for, you know, a couple of years here. I've postponed a legacy trip. Perhaps it was a 50th wedding anniversary that was supposed to happen early in the pandemic. What advice do you have for these people that want, can you and your team put together something?
That's something we specialize in, Bill, are these special trips. And it's the special birthdays, the retirements, the anniversaries, the bucket list, the family heritage trip of I want to trace my roots. I'm finally at that place where I appreciate, you know, my own heritage, and I want to go back to that place.
Want to go back to Ireland to find out where it all began.
Where did it all start, right? The village that I was able to visit in Denmark.
Yeah, oh, there you go. I remember
that's
that.
That's where it's at. Yeah. And so, yes, our team of advisors understands that type of travel, the celebratory nature of it, and how important that is, right? We treat vacations much like any investment that you would have in your life. Anything you dream for, plan for, and save for, right? Mm-hmm. There's lots of things that you do that. Don't you go to an expert to buy a home? Mm-hmm. You probably have somebody in your retirement portfolio that knows the ins and outs, and that's something you're
financial
planning and saving
consultant.
For.
Yep.
And so when it comes to these types of trips, you don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to find out the hard way. If I only knew, mm-hmm. I could have saved money. I could have saved time. Most of those things are critically important, but how about I could have experienced something unforgettable? Like, let's take that side of it. An advisor that works for Bon Voyage is going to be able to pair you up in the right hotel that fits your needs. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who doesn't want the nightlife and all of that, you mm-hmm. don't want to stay at a W hotel on mm-hmm. the most popular beach in Waikiki, right?
Yeah,
that's for somebody who loves the nightlife mm-hmm. and wants to stay up late and doesn't mm-hmm. mind music at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. But if you didn't know that, wouldn't that be disappointing if you dreamed, planned, and saved for that trip and that was your experience?
And it was nonstop till 4 a.m. Oh, the
you know
music
what?
Music never
Some
stopped.
People, that's exactly
that's
what
they
think
want,
of and want. But you and
want,
I,
yeah,
not
quiet
so much.
And, you know, or maybe a little earlier to bed.
Unplugged by nature.
So what do you have? What suggestions here?
So some of the destinations, it depends on what you're looking for. But from a celebratory nature, we love the South Pacific. We love Tahiti. That's kind of bucket list type unplugged over the water bungalow to me is a little indulging. You really feel like you're on your own little island on an over the water bungalow. If you've never been to Europe, there's no doubt there's nothing that beats Paris. Mm-hmm. If you've never done the European experience, Paris is romantic. It's cosmopolitan. It's international. The food is great. I have always found in my times to Paris that the French people, if you are trying to engage, they love it. They mm-hmm. are not, you know, there's some of the mm-hmm. misperceptions of Parisians as not wanting to engage. So I do love Paris. And if you want something that's really unbelievably special, mm-hmm. an expedition cruise is something that I would recommend. And if you want to do something that is, you come back and you will be the talk of the town at the dinner party, an Antarctica cruise on Silver Sea,
good.
Where you are getting off and you are able to touch that continent. How many people have mm-hmm. been able to touch that continent? Mm-hmm. Not many.
Nope.
So it's a wildlife experience. It's an expedition by nature, but you're on Silver Sea, which is one of our best partners out there. So when you come back to the ship, you are not compromising your accommodations or your cuisine. You are eating and staying in a 6-star luxury cruise, but you get the expedition experience.
Mm, sounds good. Let's go. All right. Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. And I do want to say that if folks want more information, the website for Bon Voyage Travel is bvtravel.com, and it's loaded with content, good travel content information. Also, they're very active on Facebook with some great ideas. All right, on behalf of Ryan Hansen and Tom, engineering and producing the show, see you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Be back in 23 hours.